You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the trust you put in people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. We talk a lot about the importance of multi-factor authentication on this podcast, but why does multi-factor authentication have to be such a pain for users? Well, I have some good news for you. It doesn't. Beyond Identity is the most secure MFA on the market and the easiest to use. Beyond Identity ensures that every authentication is multi-factor by default, with only phishing-resistant factors to secure access from the start. To find out more about Beyond Identity, go to beyondidentity.com/podcast to get a free demo today. Welcome to episode 284 of the Shared Security Podcast, and joining me this week is the most magical co-host of them all, co-host Kevin Johnson. Welcome, hey, Mr. Magical. And also joining me is co-host Scott Wright, whose country has been sending wildfire smoke into the United States. And I have to ask, Scott, was that on purpose?
Or well, where else are we supposed to put it? I mean, I don't know.
Are you trying to smoke us out? Like, what's going on?
Here's what they're trying to do. It's almost July 4th.
Yeah.
So we're celebrating our independence. Yeah. And they just want to remind us of the burning of the White House in the War of 1812.
We're just hoping a few embers make their way down to Washington.
I see how it catch on.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Canada's like, you know, you guys might have fireworks, but we burned your White House. And it's weird that they would burn large parts of their own forest to prove that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, you never account for Canadians.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Scott. I cannot go outside because it's 160, the air quality index here. That's better than the other day, apparently. So,
well, why do you want to go outside?
Ottawa's bad, too, though.
Yeah, we're at the extreme end of the scale. Like, not supposed to go out. Must wear masks and
that sucks. Stuff. Yeah. All joking aside,
sucks. It does suck. Yeah. So hopefully, y'all can get those wildfires under control.
Yes,
that'd be great. So, well, besides wildfires, we do have an exciting show for everyone today. And first, we want to talk about MoveIt. The recent MoveIt vulnerability that caused a little bit of a stir here with in the security community,
just a little bit,
right? Whenever these new emerging threats come out, right, there's always some organizations that are more impacted than others, and there was some recent incidents with British Airways, the BBC. I think this was obviously a British article that was done up about the issue. But what I find this particular, so the MoveIt vulnerability, for those of you that don't know, MoveIt is a software, third-party software that's used to transfer files. So organizations use that to file for like FTP, right? And in this particular incident, a payroll service that was used by British Airways, the BBC, and others was compromised through this vulnerability. So the article kind of brings up the supply chain type of attack again that, you know, are we going to start seeing the next type of SolarWinds because of something like MoveIt, or is this just another kind of blip on the radar?
I find it funny you mentioned SolarWinds. Did you see the announcement this morning? I saw it this morning. I think it came in last night that the SEC has sent a Wells letter to SolarWinds.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw that briefly. That's fun.
What does that result in? What is a Wells letter?
A Wells letter is, and let me be very clear, I'm only a lawyer on Twitter. And so my understanding is a Wells letter, and I only remember the name of it because I live near Wells Road and it sticks in my head. That is how dumb I am. It is a letter basically telling an organization, we are going to file an action against you. We're giving you notice so that you can start doing the preparation, the legal holds, the stuff like that. It's basically a heads up that, you know, you're going to be investigated, that you've been investigated. They're going to continue it, and they're probably going to do, I'm going to say press charges. It's not pressing charges. It's not the same, but that they are pursuing action against the organization.
Right. Interesting.
Yeah. And I think the other piece about this that's interesting is, so this attack was done by the Klopp Group, which is a Russian linked group that has typically used ransomware to attack its victims, even though in this case they still demanded a ransom for the data that they stole, but they didn't install ransomware, the actual malware component on those systems, which may be a shift in strategy, if you will, for some of these crime groups.
Yeah, I don't. Well, I actually, in this case, I don't think it's a shift in strategy.
No,
I think.
Okay,
and let me be very clear. I don't know. Right, here's what I think it is. I think it's actually a sign, and the article actually touches on this. I think it's actually a sign that they were overwhelmed with the success of the attack, and they don't have the resources necessary to do it. So instead, they're like, "Hey, we're going to release this stuff unless you contact us and tell us we have your data." Right? Like,
that's a good point. Well, yeah. I have a thought on it that is more, maybe it's, I hadn't thought of this before, but it makes sense that maybe ransomware attackers are learning they make more money from extortion by data than by actual lockup of systems.
Yeah. Well, and that is absolutely true. And we have seen multiple times in the past where ransomware is just the exit attack. Right. They've already stolen the data.
Yep.
The ransomware is an attempt to obfuscate what they did, what they got, everything else.
Like yeah.
That, destroying it. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like the idea of you break into a house and then you set it on fire before you leave. So they don't know what you stole. Destroys evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think also there's a customer service aspect to this, right? That you may not have thought of, right? If you have ransomware and you're offering to unlock somebody's computer if they pay you, then you got all that stuff to worry about. How do I unlock it? Where do I keep the keys? You know, and a lot of what ransomware attackers don't really care about that anyway, because they don't unlock stuff even if you pay them. But you know, why bother with all the customer service stuff when all I need to do is, you know, either get payment and not release information, or not get payment and release information?
Yeah, fascinating stuff. So you know, we'll keep an eye on how these groups are kind of using these vulnerabilities now. And ransomware, as you know, is still a big issue for organizations, the traditional form of ransomware that we all know and love. So Scott.
Yes, Tom.
Let's talk about this thing called AwareMuch. Are you ready?
I'm ready. You ready to
come? AwareMuch?
Yes. So in this installment of AwareMuch brought to you by ClickArmor, we're going to talk about password resets, scheduled password changes, or sometimes called password rotations.
I actually rotate all of my passwords. But
really?
It's very difficult because most systems don't let you type in at like a 45 degree angle.
I know. So, I know. I find that
totally makes it difficult.
So as a workaround, Kevin, when I do it, I just shift all of my letters over one.
Ooh, I hadn't thought about that.
That is good. I like
See, what I've been doing is just spinning around backwards and typing it from behind my back.
Ooh.
It's, that's Eddie the Van rotation Halen, I do. We're so helpful.
Yes. So there was an interesting blog post on the Sophos site around the whole idea of password changes, scheduled changes, or password self-service password resets, I guess. But I think from that point of view, there are, you know, some different strong opinions, I guess, on whether people should be forced to change passwords every month or 2 months or 3 months. You see it fairly often in organizations that are larger that have had the policy in place for a while. But there was a time, I think it's getting to be a while ago, when NIST, the National Institute for Standards and Technology, issued an apology. Well, not really an apology, right? But they said, yeah, we probably shouldn't have been forcing people to change passwords on a regular basis. It's better to just start with a strong password and force people to change it if there's known compromise or a suspected compromise. That tends to work better. So what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, I think I'm in the camp, like most people, is we hate password changes, frequent password changes.
Yeah.
Like just like 90 days is pretty annoying. It doesn't really improve security, in my opinion.
Matter of fact, in my opinion, it does the opposite harm security, because all it does is piss people off, the people that you need to depend on to actually secure your stuff.
Yeah.
I do want to make one clarification, and I know, Scott, you know this, but I didn't hear you say it.
Okay.
NIST said you don't have to do password changes on a regular basis if your password was strong enough, right? Like, you met these level of complexity beyond the normal, hey, this is bare minimum, right? And that you had MFA and all the, like, it, they had qualifiers on their thing. And I, the only reason I point that out is, one, I'm a pedantic jerk. And two, I've heard way too many people argue that they're like, oh, well, that's not what NIST said. But I'm like, no, wait, calm down, chill, you know. But I would prefer that people are taught better how to better pick a passphrase, how to use password storage, how not to reuse or share passwords, like giving that information.
Yeah.
If we had been talking about that for years, and bluntly, here's where the issue is for that. The vast majority of the systems out there are written in such a way that you can't actually put a decent passphrase in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The number of systems I go to and they're like, use a special character. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Spaces aren't special characters. Don't use spaces. Oh, don't do this. Don't do that.
Yep.
As long as our systems prevent us from doing the right thing, we're going to have to force password changes on people because those systems weaken the security. This is the same thing as this is the same thing as phishing, right? As long as we build our systems that require you to click a link in an email, phishing is going to be a real problem.
Yeah, I mean, that, and, links are life though these days.
Yeah.
So I mean,
as long as we build systems that don't allow people to use passwords that are secure, you can't copy and paste a password into this web form because we block paste, which blocks the ability for us to use a password manager, right?
Yep. Like,
come on. That's my opinion. We need to stop that crud.
Yep.
And then we can start really having a conversation about whether password rotation helps. I agree with Tom, though. I hate password rotation. I don't think you should force people to do it. It's just we set people up for failure.
Yeah. I think we're better off
too often.
We're better off having people choose strong passwords and not forcing them to reset them on a regular basis. You know, people tend to start writing them down if they have to change them so often and they can't come up with new unique things to remember or that they can remember. So anyway, that's an interesting topic for reading and discussing. This installment was brought to you by ClickArmor, and we do gamified security awareness training that is unlike anything you've seen before. And we've just launched a new password module. So it'll be interesting to get your feedback. Love you to come to clickarmor.ca and try it out. And so for this week, that's our pitch from ClickArmor, and I think hopefully everybody learns a little bit about passwords from either doing a trial or reading this particular article. Also like to mention our cybersecurity awareness forum that we run every 2 weeks. This past week, we had over 200 people registered for it. So that's cool.
Nice.
Growing some momentum there. So join the panel and live audience for Q&A. And that's at clickarmor.ca/CSAF. So that's it for this installment of Aware Much.
Thank you, Scott.
You did that well, Scott.
You did. But it very well.
Yeah. Tom does it better. I don't know why.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
That means his battery died.
And Scott's gone.
Scott's gone.
Well, it was great. I mean, it was actually perfect timing because that was his segment. So I guess we get to finish the podcast.
Yes, we do. Scott. Just so everybody, for the recorder, the people listening to the recording, what happened was Scott had just gotten back from a thing he was doing and couldn't find his power adapter. And so he warned us that he had 9 minutes. Turns out he had
less than that.
And let's be blunt, we've all been there.
Yes, we have.
Oh man. It's to the point now, I have 3 power adapters for my laptop.
Yeah.
One at home, one at the office, and one that stays in my bag
Yep.
All the time. Unless
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I had a battery failure during a presentation.
Yep.
Which was the worst experience. Because, like, you know, those battery indicators always lie to you.
Yeah. Oh, you have a half an hour.
Yeah. No, I don't. Nope. You got about 2 minutes.
Nope.
Yeah. And then you're done. So, well, good times.
Awesome.
So, hey,
jump in topics, tangenting a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you seen the ISC squared bylaws vote?
Yeah. You mean when they realized that someone could hack the voting system and then offline?
Yeah. No big deal.
I saw that.
So,
it's back now.
I know. Apparently. I saw the notification this morning. I'm assuming because you got the notification, you're also a member because you have your CISP still. Are you in the same boat I am that you just want to vote no against it because ISC squared wants it?
Yes, I do.
That is so bad. This is a fundamental problem in my head that we have an organization that we're supposed to trust, that we're supposed to support and whatever. And they have caused us all to distrust them so much that just the fact that they say, we'd like you to vote yes to this, I didn't even read it and I had decided I was voting no.
Yeah.
one of my people, Nathan, actually said he wonders what the backstory on the term limits is.
Yeah.
Is it an attempt to prevent people like Wim Reams, who did so well mm-hmm. as a board member, from running again?
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm not saying it know. Is. I had not thought about it that way. And I'm like, oh. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I haven't decided how I'm going to vote yet. I think I'm going to vote no just because they want me to vote yes.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
And now you have an actual story you want us to talk to. Hey, Scott, welcome back. We did not make fun of your battery.
No, but you're going to make my editing very interesting. It's always interesting. Because you're going to have to find a way to upload all the previous audio and video from your dead laptop. So
find the adapter. Yeah.
You'll have to do that. Thank you. But let's get to our last story of the week. Which is the Department of the Army here in the U.S. Their criminal investigation division has issued a military wide alert regarding a program that's apparently targeting service members with free smartwatches. So a bunch of people in the Army have been getting these random packages of these Chinese-made smartwatches that automatically connect to Wi-Fi upon activation, which has raised some concerns.
Yeah.
I think.
By the way, if you want to target me with technology, right? Like,
Here's Kevin's address.
My address is 3412 Corey Road, Jacksonville, Florida. And that's the office. But this is an interesting one to me. One, I want to, my read of it is we don't actually know it's targeted. I think mm-hmm. the answer is it is. But there is another thing. And the article that you linked to actually mentioned it. I think they called it brushing, which I
yeah, brushing, that term. Right.
Yeah. Like the idea of I'm going to ship you something so you'll give me a good review because you got it for free and whatever. I have seen where people, like, they'll ship it to build up their numbers. Like, oh, we've had 1 million people get one. We shipped it to 999,000 of them. But this one seems too specific.
Very much.
Right? To me, this is basic. Hey, man, I got this package in the mail. I don't know why. Let me plug it in and see what's going on.
It's how we compromise people in physical security assessments, right? Laying USB drives and stuff around. And hey,
yeah, this is the same old story time and time again, right? Yeah. A tale as old as time or something so that Disney can yell at us. But it's interesting that it's targeting military service people, and I'm curious how widespread, because I haven't read anywhere where they've given specifics of how many of these watches have shown up. And, you know,
I think it's China trying new things because we figured out that their balloon program isn't working anymore. So this is the next evolution of that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't shoot smartwatches out of the sky. I mean,
well, maybe. You can try.
Yeah. This is kind of OPSEC 101, right? Like this is, you know, you get a suspicious package. I mean, for anybody, really. I mean, yeah. You got to, you know, don't just plug these things in.
And at that point, it's a law of numbers, right? I mean, if you send it to 100 people in any organization, one or two of them are going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing in this article I do want to call out, which I, and someone that was in the military, I find this actually horrifying, is that the military is exploring integrating smart and wearable technology into troops' professional lives, including health and fitness monitoring. So forcing soldiers and Marines to wear these trackable devices to track their health. And I don't know how I feel about that.
I just read, and I'm blanking on, do you know, I know this will come as a surprise to you, but sometimes I read something on Mastodon or Twitter and it just irritates the piss out of me. And I
say
read
it. So
I know. I know
you, out of all
I'm
people.
About to say, you're going to be surprised by.
Yes.
But I read this thing and it was by this guy and he was just, and he was saying things. And it was one of those cases where what he was saying was right up to a point, mm-hmm. and then he took it to an extreme, right? Oh, I know what it was. It was against Tesla FSD. I think his name is Dan something or other. And I'm like, I don't even know who this guy is. And let me be clear. I like my Tesla. I'm not a Tesla fanboy. I think FSD is a lie. It's not full self-driving, but whatever, right? And I'm like, I don't even know who this person is. So I look him up and I go out to his website and he writes that the way he started his career and what his company does is they have made unhackable systems for the military. And I read that and you made me think of it when you said they're going to force that mm-hmm. guy who's against FSD. He's trying to get the NHTSA or whatever the acronym is to ban the FSD beta from the world. And that guy is the person who is designing the smartwatches for the military. Not the ones I got, but this idea. I love technology. I love smart devices. I love the idea that we're being able to track our fitness. And I'm a fat guy. So,
oh, yeah.
Right. I love that.
Apple Watch. Yes, I know.
But the whole idea of forcing people to do it without really... You know, because we all know military grade means lowest.
means no security. Right? Easily hackable. Yeah.
It's totally. And then this guy's like, well, it's unhackable. Like, okay, that worked out well for Oracle.
Every time that's said, ends up being hacked.
Here's a question for you on this one. So presumably the military is giving you some devices, right, to do this.
Oh, we would have to, right?
Yeah. So now you're going to be subject to an acceptable use policy on the things that you're forced to wear all day long.
Hmm. It's one way of looking at it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean, but that's the thing is you're forced to wear it, especially in the military. They will force you to.
Well, they own you, right?
Do whatever. Yeah, they want you to do, of course. So you sign your life away. But
starting to make a business case for drone armies a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess I can see the why they want to monitor military personnel. I get that, especially from maybe even a battlefield perspective.
I was going to say,
you know, now where everybody is at in a, you know, a combat situation.
So does your other side. But I mean, every sci-fi military book talks about the, you know, the armored mm-hmm. suit that has the full AI and, you know, tracking and everything else like that. This is the future. The question is, how do we get there safely? And oh, by the way, I'm aware that when you join the military, I wasn't in the military. I have bad lungs. When I talked to them about joining, I wasn't allowed to. The medical, right? But bad lungs, not bone spurs. And sorry, I'm not making fun of anybody, Trump. But there's an aspect of you have signed away all of your rights when you like, and I'm exaggerating, right? But okay, you're in the military now, do this, right? But at the same time, there's a level of privacy that we should be respecting about these individual soldiers, that if you're pushing that level of invasive technology at them, I don't know how you could respect that privacy side of it, right?
I agree.
that would concern me. Like ignoring the negative aspects of if the enemy hacks into it, what they get access to, that's a bad thing. But I worry about that. And, you know, Scott, you're bringing up the acceptable use. You're absolutely right. What is the legal bindingness of that? If your boss, let's ignore the military, but if your boss says you have to install this software and the software has an acceptable use policy that is horrible for privacy and like all that kind of stuff, how enforceable is that? What can the person who's been forced to do that do?
Yeah.
I don't know. Those are the thoughts I have.
It's actually a bigger problem than just the small area we're talking about. I think Tanya Janka mentioned it. You might have seen it, Tom, where she, of course, if you don't know Tanya, she's a guru in application security, right? And she was complaining online about how you go to a Canadian government website that where you're forced to do certain things for tax purposes, but you have to also accept the license policy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I don't want to accept this. Wow. So.
Yeah. Well, and her biggest problem with that one was not necessarily the privacy for her, but the insecurity that she had seen on the system.
That's right. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Well, I think that's all we have time for this week.
Or
battery power. But yes.
No
remember, kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, remember, kids. Always know where your power adapters are. That's true. Plug them in.
Only you can prevent dead batteries.
And there's your PSA for this week.
Okay, I'll go look for mine now.
Yes, go do that, Scott. All right, and for everyone else, we will talk again next week. Thanks for listening or watching. If you like this episode, please share it with friends and colleagues and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app to catch all the latest from the podcast. Visit us at sharedsecurity.net. Follow us on Mastodon at Shared Security, on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit.